I'm going to need a stand this morning because my brain doesn't work as good as Eric's, so I have to keep my notes close by. It's good to be with you this morning. For those of you who are here for the first time, my name is Brian Keister. I am not the pastor here. I am married to Pastor Danita, and both she and Pastor Eric are in Tampa, Florida at the Church of the Brethren's annual conference. And so Eric asked me to fill in for him today. In terms of my vocation, I'm a farmer by trade, so this is very much outside my box. I'd very much rather talk to the cattle in the barnyard. So if I look at you kind of funny, it means I'm trying to transition you into that, so it makes it a little easier for me. So, but anyway, I have five daughters, and it's been a great summer because they've all been home this summer. And some of them have been living on the other side of the world for a while. That includes those who live in Virginia. They might as well be on the other side of the world. But they're here now, so that's great. So it's been a great summer. We've got about 3 weeks to enjoy one another. And then Becky's going to head back to Singapore. And while we really encourage her and are thankful for what she's doing there in a Christian school, it's always hard to let your kids go, to not be able to get a hold of them and touch them. Well, Eric has been sharing about real life from the book of James and how our belief determines your behavior. In fact, he coined a new phrase last week, how your behavior determines your behavior. And he's trying to get that word into the Webster's. I don't know if he's going to be successful, but I promised him I'd use it today. So we've got our requirement in this morning to get that word in there for him today. But last week he also talked about how the imparted word, how Jesus and our relationship with him determines our relationship with other people. Well, James also has a lot to say about something else and how the imparted word impacts a muscle of all things. And you know, many of us work out, we try to stay in shape. I saw a statistic where we spend about $60 billion a year in the United States exercising our muscles. Well, this particular muscle is probably the most exercised muscle of your body, but it's the most difficult to control. It's also one of the smallest, and yet, if you've ever said something and wish you could take it back, you know what muscle we're talking about. It's this one right here, the tongue. It's the tongue. Now, we don't know why James wrote about the tongue in this way. It's a pretty hard text for us to hear because it's actually written to Christians. And so when we read it, I think there's a lot of caution in here for us. One of the reasons he wrote it could be because of what Jesus said. Jesus was with his disciples one day, and the Pharisees came up, and they were upset because his disciples didn't wash their hands when they ate. And that was a way of being defiled. And so they were putting food into their mouths that was defiling their bodies, and this upset the Pharisees. Well, Jesus had something to say about that. In Matthew 15, he says, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these defile them." So it's not what's going in, it's what's coming out. "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." That's a pretty powerful statement that Jesus made, that what is in our heart comes out through our tongue. So if you were to think about the conversations you had this week, what did they say about what you believe? Think about that. Well, let's listen to what James says here and see if you find yourself in this anywhere. Bear with me. We're going to read the whole chapter 3. I always like to read chunks because I think we get a better perspective on what James is trying to say. "Not many of you should be teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses or make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's image, God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither shall salt water produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. He has a lot to say there, doesn't he? Well, I think it's to understand that what James is trying to say is the tongue matters. And it matters because, first of all, it directs. There's a lot of power in what we say. And he gives a little warning to teachers that we're going to be held more accountable. And though it's a great privilege to talk about God's Word and teach people God's Word, we are definitely held accountable by our peers, aren't we? One of the greatest criticisms of the church is that we tend to be hypocrites. We say one thing and we do something else. And there's a long list of pastors and preachers who have railed against sexual immorality only to be caught with their pants down. We're also going to be held accountable by God. And especially when it comes to what we teach our children and what we pass on to them. Jesus had some very strong things to say. He said, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. So our tongue is important. It has power. It can direct. And James then compares it to a couple of things that we're very familiar with, and one of those is a horse and a bit. And he's compares our tongue to the ability to control a horse. Just by putting that bit in a horse's mouth, you can make that horse do about anything. In fact, they make different bits, different aggressiveness. If you have a horse that's unruly, you can use a stronger bit so that you can control the horse. And apparently you can even control your horse with your dog if you have the right bit in there. So you might want to try that. James also compares the tongue to the rudder of a ship. Now, I don't think James could have imagined the size of the ships that we have today. They're humongous, ginormous, I like to say. But they're all driven or guided by this little rudder at the back. And so he's really trying to make the point that our tongue really can set the course for our life and the direction we're going to go. And in my family, this has had a real impact. I had a grandmother who, she blamed my mother for siding with my grandfather when they separated and got divorced. And so she said that she would never set foot on our farm. She would never do that. And so as a child, I never knew my grandmother. And she followed her words. It guided her path. And it wasn't until later in her life, my sister worked at reconciling with my grandmother. And, you know, God has the ability to transform people. And I think he really impacted her life And the last few years of her life, we got to know her. And we had a joy, the joy of getting to know her. She was a very interesting lady, fun to be around. But you know, just those words set the path of her life, set a course that impacted not only her, but it impacted the rest of our family. You know, sometimes it gets even more serious. James says that the tongue can actually be a spark that starts a fire that leads us to do evil things, like a forest fire. You know, we see them out west all the time. Sometimes they're started by lightning. Sometimes they're started by a careless person who just has a campfire, and it grows into something like that. About 3 weeks ago, I think we saw an example of that. There was a young man who walked into the Emmanuel AME church, shot 9 innocent people. You know, he wrote a manifesto before he did that. He wrote down what he believed. And that, speaking that, in essence, he spoke it, ignited a spark within him that led him to a fire that led to a hellish act in killing those folks. So the tongue has great, great power to direct our path, sometimes in devastating ways. So it directs, and you know, it can direct destruction, but it also can destroy itself. And sometimes that kind of goes unnoticed. I had a discussion with my daughters not too long ago about whether they felt pressure in high school to get good grades, whether I, you know, put some pressure on them. And the general consensus was that I did. And the one daughter shared this story. She said she brought a report card home, and it looked like this. She had all A's and one B. Now, I am sure that I complimented her on her accomplishment. But apparently in the course of that discussion, I mentioned something about leaving some room for improvement on the B. And you know, that's what she remembers. And she came away feeling defeated. That's how quickly the tongue can destroy and tear down. I think sometimes we intentionally set out to do that on our own. We intentionally set out to destroy. A lot of times that comes in anger. And if you've ever been angry and you've said things, and particularly with our children, I think they're extremely vulnerable. You know, if you're mad at your child and you tell them they're stupid or dumb or a pain or a bother, and you keep telling them that when you're in your anger, you know, you're setting them up for a real struggle in their adult life. They may carry that with them to the very day they die. That inadequacy, that sense of that. That's the power the tongue has to destroy. James also talks about the tongue being full of poison. And when I think of that, I think about, you know, a venomous snake. You know, if they bite you, that poison travels through your whole body. And I think maybe James was trying to get at the fact of how the tongue can be so destructive in the church family. And, you know, we're a body of believers, and we just gather here today to worship God. But the biggest threat to the unity of Buffalo Valley is the tongue. Gossip, destructive criticism, slander, those kinds of things travel like wildfire through a congregation. So we need to be on our guard about those things. Because if that's in our heart, we're in the wrong place. And, you know, James talks about, you know, how unnatural it is for us to be a believer and a follower and praising God and at the same time cursing our brother. And, you know, if you come here and praise God and then you, on the way home, you roast some member for lunch, you're doing exactly what James is describing. And the unnaturalness of it, he says, you know, hey, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? No. Can a fig tree bear olives? No. Can a grapevine bear fig? No. Can a salt spring produce fresh water? No. So when those kind of things are going on, what does that mean? Well, I think it's hard for us to admit that our expressions of the tongue about other people are from the heart. We don't want to buy into that. You know, it's just off the, we didn't really mean that. But it's in there. James makes it pretty clear. And that means that when we're worshiping God and we're praising God, and then we're doing that, our praise cannot be genuine. Because when we praise God, that's a transforming thing. That's transformational. That should be impacting our tongue. So the tongue matters because it directs, it destroys, but it also discloses what's in our heart. And James describes two kinds of wisdom, earthly and heavenly. And when he describes the earthly wisdom, it sounds like it's ripped right out of our culture. You know, boasting about doing wrong, demanding our rights, wanting what others have. You know, the new term is we're going to redistribute the wealth in this country. Well, what's really at the root of that? Well, James, I think, tells us envy, selfish ambition. That's what earthly wisdom's about. So you think about the words you've spoken this week. Were there times when they led to confusion? Were there times when you intentionally pulled somebody down to lift yourself up? Was there a time when somebody had an encounter with you and they came away diminished by what you said? It may be telling you these things reside in your heart. That's a tough thing for us to admit, but it's important that we do. You know, in this area of the country, we have a strong Germanic influence around here. You know, you may not have a German background in your name, but there certainly is in mine. Keister's about as German as it gets. And with that comes a strong dose of sarcasm and criticism. I think it's in our DNA. It's part of who we are. Now, we like to deny that. So if you want to know if you have this gene, I suggest you ask your spouse, your children, or your best friend if you tend to be critical or sarcastic, and see what they tell you. But did you ever ask yourself why? Why are we that way? Why are we so critical? You know, I think sometimes we criticize people not so much to because we're superior and we're looking down on them, but because we're feeling low and we're trying to bring them down to where we are, where we feel we are. And you know, as believers, if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, there's really no reason to be feeling low. God has sent his son to die for you. You are highly valuable to God. He has a mission for you. He has things he wants you to be about in his kingdom. He wants you to impact the world for him. That's how important you are to him. And I think sometimes we need to remember that in our faith journey, when criticism starts entering in, that we aren't doing that because we've got some earthly wisdom down there, and we've got some feelings about ourselves that are not in line with what God would have for us. So the tongue is a window into our faith, and James has definitely come across pretty negative here. There can be a lot of junk down there in our heart. It's important for us to acknowledge that if we're going to be transformed. And I think we need to remember that as Christians, we're in a transformational process. As we believe in Jesus, as we put our faith to work, our tongue will begin to change. We will begin to speak in different ways. And I think that belief will become more evident. Now, I do believe that we have a role to play. And Paul, when he wrote in Philippians, he said, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So think about your life. How much of that stuff are you bringing into it? The noble things, the good things. When you think about, you know, the music you listen to, the movies you watch, the videos you play, all the media we have around us. Are we bringing things into our life and into our family that are inconsistent with what Paul has said? Now, I know as adults, we like to think it doesn't matter what we expose ourselves to. It doesn't change our belief. If you believe that, I think you are the uniquest person in the universe. And we have a powerful display of how, you know, the media input changes what people believe. Just a couple weeks ago, the Supreme Court changed the definition of marriage. Yeah, they changed the definition of marriage. Where was that idea promoted? Think about that. Think about what you're letting into your life in other areas that leads you to use your tongue in ways that are not what God would have intended. See, ultimately, James describes what it is like to live a life based on heavenly wisdom. And I have put these up here with a couple ideas of how that will impact our tongue. He talks about it being pure. Heavenly wisdom is pure. So using language that uplifts people. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I run into people who speak very coarsely about other people, use pretty rough language, that, you know, have jokes and that kind of thing that demean either races or genders. If you're around that kind of stuff, you know, you can say something. You can stop that kind of thing from going on. James talks about it being heavenly wisdom is peace-loving. You know, using our tongue to bring other people together instead of pull them apart. It's also being considerate, engaging others to understand them. You know, I think we jump to conclusions way too soon when a lot of people's lives are dressed a certain way, they look a certain way, we draw a conclusion about who they are. That ought not be. We have a tongue. We can find out exactly what people are thinking and struggling with in their life. Here's one we hate. Everybody hates the idea of being submissive. But, you know, as heavenly wisdom comes into our life, as that relationship with Jesus Christ impacts our tongue, I think we sometimes keep our tongue quiet so that others can be heard, or we encourage others to speak who normally don't. Heavenly wisdom is full of mercy. You know, we had a powerful example of this. Those families who lost loved ones at the AME church, it seemed like 2 days later, they're coming out with expressions of forgiveness for this young man. That is powerful. That is godly. That is God's transforming power impacting people in ways that is beyond what we can comprehend almost. That can be true for all of us. Heavenly wisdom bears good fruit, encouraging others. If you looked at your basket of fruit, do you have a lot of compliments in there that you've been distributing lately? I just got a letter this week from somebody. They just sent me a letter, just expressing some appreciation. I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, we can all be like that. We can all encourage one another. Talks about being impartial, speaking to the greatest and the least as society sees them. You know, being willing to engage with people that are outside of what we normally would engage with. And finally, about having heavenly wisdom means sincerity. Sharing what we know of the truth. Talking to people of our faith and what difference it makes in our lives. Those are the ways to use our tongue. So taking it all in, you know, we become a peacemaker if we're living by heavenly wisdom. So my question is this morning to you, is your tongue being directed by heavenly wisdom? Are you using the tongue destructively? And what does your tongue disclose about your heart? In what areas of heavenly wisdom, perhaps, is God speaking to you this morning? Is there one of these you go, yep, there's one that God is really, really trying to work on me. Are you willing to confess to God that that's an area of your life that you need to experience his transformational power? You know, it's important that we recognize who we are. James says, don't deny it. Don't boast about it. Deal with the truth in our life. And that's important. Because when we confess our sins, what happens? Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from our righteousness. And I believe that if we're all working at that, Buffalo Valley is a place that's going to really fulfill what it says right back there. Together, we will passionately pursue and demonstrate the transforming life of Christ. Let that be the case for our tongue. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of just gathering, of hearing your word. We struggle somewhat with what James has said to us this morning. That's a difficult passage, Lord. Lord, you know in our heart what we've said this week, those times we've messed up, and we know, Lord, that we will. James tells us that we're going to do that, Lord. We pray that you would help us to be willing to admit that when it happens, to confess it to you, and to seek to be and to speak in ways that honor you, that we would be connected with the heavenly wisdom that comes through the imparted word, Jesus. So Lord, transform us, fill us, renew us. In Jesus' name, amen.